Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. The prophets of Baal and the official worship of this pagan deity had been defeated. The purpose for the drought was fulfilled. Rain was on the way. Now it was time for Elijah to pray. That is what he did after returning to the top of Mount Carmel. While he did so, Ahab went off with his servants to have a meal. After he prayed, Elijah called for his servant.
"My dear servant, the Lord God has been vindicated. Now, he will lift the drought. Go look for evidence that the rain is coming. Look toward the sea."
So, the servant went and looked, and returned.
"I didn't see anything."
"Keep looking. 7 times, if necessary."
After 7 times, the servant returned with a smile on his face.
"Yes, there's a cloud. But it's very small, no bigger than a man's hand, rising out of the sea."
"Go interrupt the king's meal. Tell him to saddle up and get down the mountain if he doesn't want to get caught in the storm that is coming."
Things happened fast. The sky grew black with wind-driven clouds, and then a huge cloudburst of rain, with Ahab riding hard in his chariot for Jezreel. And God strengthened Elijah mightily. Pulling up his robe and tying it around his waist, Elijah outran Ahab's chariot to Jezreel. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets.
"And you permitted that? You consented to the slaughter of my prophets?"
"You weren't there. You didn't see the fire sweeping down to consume the sacrifice. You didn't see how the people reacted. It was the people. They were all crying out that Elohim is God. They wanted the prophets exterminated."
"You are a pitiful, insufferable mouse of a man."
Jezebel called for one of her servants.
"Make haste, even in this rain, and get a message to the Tishbite. Tell him these words exactly as I am saying them to you. The gods will get you for this, and I will get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you will be as dead as any one of those prophets."
When the threat was delivered to Elijah, the prophet, fearing for his life, fled into the wilderness. Exhausted and disheartened, and feeling hopelessly alone, he prayed to God.
"I have just returned from 3 years of exile, 3 years of fleeing from this woman. Enough. I've had enough. Lord, just let me be done with this. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's."
God sent an angel to Elijah, who provided him with food and water, strengthening him for a journey ahead. Elijah ate the provided meal and regained his strength. Now, empowered by divine nourishment, Elijah traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. It was here that God revealed himself to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. At Horeb, Elijah found a cave and spent the night there. And then Elijah heard a voice, coming as it were from the heavens.
"What are you doing here, Elijah?"
"I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too."
"Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord."
A hurricane wind ripped through the mountains and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't to be found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. and after the fire a gentle and quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak, went to the mouth of the cave, and stood there.
What are you doing here, Elijah?
Elijah repeated what he had said before about being the only faithful prophet. God stopped him.
Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.
Through this narrative, we see the complexities of the prophet's journey, the need for spiritual renewal and rest, and the importance of God's ongoing guidance and encouragement. It also foreshadows the ministry of Jesus, who likewise experienced weariness, faced opposition, sought solitude, and ultimately relied on the Father's strength and provision. The drought, in Israel, lasted 3.5 years. This emphasizes the severity and prolonged nature of the judgment upon Israel. It highlights the consequences of the nation's disobedience and idolatry. In Revelation, 3.5 years is associated with a time of great tribulation and persecution. This connection suggests that the drought in Israel, lasting for the same duration, could be seen as a foreshadowing or a symbolic precursor to the ultimate trials and challenges that will occur in the end times. By contrast, Jesus' earthly ministry lasted for 3.5 years. God offers us opportunities to get right with Him. However, if we choose to do the wrong, there will be judgment. Just as Elijah prepared a sacrifice on Mount Carmel, Jesus offered Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of humanity. Both acts demonstrate the need for atonement, and the willingness of God's chosen servants to lay down their lives. Elijah's prayer for rain, to end the drought, reflects Jesus' authority over creation. Just as Jesus calmed storms and walked on water, His power over nature is foreshadowed in Elijah's control over rain and drought. Elijah's confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel reflects Jesus' clash with religious hypocrisy and false teachings during His earthly ministry. Both circumstances reveal the stark contrast between the true worship of God and the deceptive practices of idolatry. The response of the people of Israel, who acknowledged the Lord as the true God, after witnessing His power on Mount Carmel, foreshadows the transformative effect of encountering Jesus. It mirrors the repentance and conversion that occurred as people witnessed Jesus' miracles and teachings. Just as Elijah fled to the wilderness to seek refuge and solitude, Jesus often withdrew to desolate places for prayer and communion with God. Both circumstances highlight the importance of seeking God's presence and guidance in times of distress. In the wilderness, Elijah was miraculously sustained by God's provision of food and water. Similarly, Jesus performed miracles of multiplication, feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, demonstrating His power as the provider of physical and spiritual nourishment. In 1 Kings 19 verse 12, God speaks to Elijah in a still small voice or a gentle whisper. This contrasts with the grand displays of power on Mount Carmel. Similarly, Jesus often taught and guided His disciples with gentleness and humility, emphasizing the importance of listening to God's voice in the quiet moments of life. God assures Elijah that there is a remnant of 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed down to Baal. In a similar vein, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, calling His followers to a faithful and obedient relationship with the Father. The remnant signifies those who remain steadfast in their devotion to God, amidst a spiritually compromised environment. Father, give us hearts that remain steadfast in devotion to You, even when the world around us may be filled with idolatry and unbelief. Give us the grace to be part of the faithful remnant, shining Your light, and sharing Your truth, in a world that desperately needs Your love and salvation. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.